All of us share one thing in common. We want to please God. And of course, that means that we all find ourselves asking the question, just what does God expect from me? Now, there are a lot of ways to answer that question. You have really two extremes. Some will go to Matthew chapter 22 and point out that, well, this is how you please God. You love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You love your neighbor as yourself. But then they'll tell you, beyond that, just don't sweat the details. Because love is enough. Just love. Now, at the far extreme, the other way, some will hand you a long, detailed creed book outlining precisely what your behavior should be for any circumstance for in daily Christian living. Now, we want to know, what does the Bible say? What does God expect from me? What does He expect from you? You're here this morning because you're concerned about your relationship with God. And above everything else, you want to feel confident in your relationship with God, while understanding that God, yes, He has expectations for me that the Bible explains. So this morning, how are you doing? Come clean with yourself. How are you doing? Are you struggling? Maybe you're even overwhelmed. Are you tormented by temptations? This morning, our goal is to understand that we are saved by grace through faith, while being absolutely honest with the challenge of being obedient to our God. We talk about preaching the gospel, and they call it gospel because that word literally means good news. And the gospel is good news because of what happens when you wholeheartedly believe it. Gospel is preached, or you study your Bible. You hear the gospel, you read the gospel, you understand the gospel, and you believe it with all your heart. And once you believe it, you're then filled with godly sorrow because of sin, and that your sin put Jesus on the cross. He died for you because of your sin. But that godly sorrow, Paul teaches us in 2 Corinthians 7, actually serves an important purpose. It leads us to repentance. And the word repentance is all about changing. Changing how we think and changing how we live. And now you're ready to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, not only with your lips, but also with your life. And best of all, now you're ready to be reborn. You're ready to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Paul paints this word picture. You're buried with Christ by baptism into death. And then you're raised to walk in newness of life. That's good news. That's good news. And that's the reason when you come up out of that watery grave, you're rejoicing. It's good news. But understand, you never stop growing in appreciation of that good news. Imagine this. From God's perspective, you are now a new creation. That's what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's good news. In fact, Paul preached Christ with a goal that we not just become new in Christ, but that we continue to grow to maturity. He wrote the brethren at Colossae, and in Colossians 1:28, he's talking about Christ. Him we preach. Christ we preach. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Now, the original word translated man is really mankind. So he's saying, I'm warning every and teaching every man and woman in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the goal. He said, well, perfect. The original word translated perfect is an interesting word. It was used in different ways in the first century Greek world. Sometimes it meant to make complete, to carry something through completely, to accomplish it, to finish it, to bring it to an end. Sometimes it meant to complete in the sense of adding to something that is not finished, that's wanting. But when it's applied to men and women, it meant to be full grown, grown up, mature. And so Paul's goal for every one of us, as he taught those first century souls and us today through the written word, his goal was for every one of us to be perfect, whole, complete, and mature in Christ Jesus. Now, here in Colossians 1, if you back up to verse 21, you might want to get your Bible and look at this. In Colossians 1, 21 and 22, there Paul shares a clear definition of what it means to be made perfect in Christ. Now, he talks about their past condition. He's going to talk about their present condition. And then what should be their future condition. And you who once were, past condition, you were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now, present condition, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. That's the picture of a mature Christian. A mature Christian is living a holy life. They're blameless and above reproach in their day-to-day living. In other words, it's obvious to everyone that they are a new creation in Christ. And again, that's why the gospel is good news. You say, yeah, but preacher, come on. What does God really expect of me? Well, I'm going to show you that. Right here in Colossians 1. Again, we're going to read verses 21 and 22. But we're going to add one more verse to it this time. Colossians 1:21. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if, that's a big if here, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. And so, Paul, what does God expect of us? Well, he wants you to continue. He wants you to be grounded and steadfast and never moved away from the hope of his calling. That's what God expects. And again, this is his definition of becoming perfect, are mature, complete, spiritually grown up into the image of Christ. Now don't miss this. God wants you to live without sin in your life. Are you listening to me? He wants you to live a holy and blameless life above any reproach. And you may be thinking, yeah, but is that even possible? Well, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, we get a little bit of insight into how this is possible. I say then, Galatians 5, 16, walk in the Spirit. Now that's an important phrase. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. It's important to understand the context of this passage. Some Jews had traveled up into Galatia. There were a number of congregations there. And they were teaching the Gentiles in those congregations that they had to keep a part of the old law in order to be a faithful Christian. But Paul tells them, Galatians 5 verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again. He's talking about in the old law. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. In other words, don't allow yourself to be led astray. Don't believe them when they say you've got to be true to the old law in order to be right with Christ. Instead, I want you to walk in the Spirit. I want you to be led by the Spirit. And what is the promise? Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You say, now wait a minute. Is it really possible to live without sin? Well, Jesus proved that it's possible. In other words, we're all without excuse for our sinfulness. But what does God expect from you? What does He expect from me? Since I can walk in the Spirit, am I hopeless if I ever commit just one sin? Will God say, well done, good and faithful servant, only if I reach and then maintain a life of absolute perfect righteousness through walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit? Can God only be pleased with me if I'm absolutely without one single sin? I want you to listen carefully. Are you listening? It is vital that we strive for biblical balance in answering this question. First of all, that the Bible never gives us a license to play with sin. And that's a real temptation. Oh, it's no big deal. It doesn't matter to God. It matters. In fact, notice Galatians 5, verse 24. And those who are Christ, those who belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's another way of saying you really do have to die to self. The worldly passions and the fleshly desires that once mastered you and ruled you must no longer be your master. You must now live in the Spirit. Galatians 2:20. This is how Paul defined living in the Spirit for him and for us. Galatians 2:20. Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. Wow. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." What an incredible word picture. I've died to self, but you better believe I'm alive, because Christ is living in me. In the life I live every single day, every morning when I get out of bed, Christ is living in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith. I never stop trusting Him. That's what we're talking about. You must walk in the Spirit. The Greeks used the word walk to define the cadence of marching soldiers. And so what is walking in the Spirit? It's following the cadence of the Holy Spirit. And in particular, the written Word of God. Not the cadence of the world, not even the cadence of the old law of Moses. Bottom line, walking in the Spirit is walking as Christ walked. So we don't have a license to sin. If you've been excusing your sin or diminishing how important your sin is, stop it. We don't have a license to sin. In fact, Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, verses 14 through 16, he said, "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to your former lust, as in your ignorance." What's the contrast? "But as He who calls you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" That's what God says. "Be holy, for I am holy." It's the same contrast. Don't follow former lust. Be an imitator of God. Be holy. Now, we all need to understand some important points here. Because here's the reality. There's a war underway for your soul. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. God wants you to live holy. He wants you to live above the lust and the passions of this world. And so, yes, we are washed by the blood of Christ. We are made righteous through Christ. And yet we face the challenge of living righteously and living holy lives. But we're still talking about good news this morning. You may be thinking, "Oh my, oh my." No, we're still talking about good news. Now, some folks are preaching the goody-goody news. You know, don't sweat the details. Don't worry about sin. Don't worry about fighting the good fight against unrighteousness. Just love the Lord. Everything's going to be all right. That's the goody-goody news. Here's the reality. We're living in the tension between the sins of the flesh and the temptations of the flesh and the challenge to be holy. And so you may be thinking, "Well, preacher, I mean, what's the good news in that tension?" Here it is. I'm glad you asked. Our Christian life is a lifelong process of spiritual growth, maturing. In fact, in our struggles, the Bible teaches us that's when we really grow spiritually. No matter how young or how old you are, you're going to continue to grow. Here's how James put it. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." What? What, James? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience is endurance. It's that quality that just keeps pressing on. So the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it'll be given to him. Trials are the testing of the faith of each one of us. And listen to me, the greater the trial, the greater the opportunity to mature and grow stronger and more enduring and more like Jesus. What happens when you grow in endurance or patience? What happens? Well, you become perfect, complete. You don't lack anything. And again, perfect is not faultless. You become mature. In the first century, they used it to describe a person of complete integrity. A person with outstanding virtue. They were mature. And they especially used it for those who were full grown, fully mature. And so we're involved in a process to get there, right? You don't start there. You have to grow there. And you never stop growing. But there's one more thing that makes the gospel good news for us this morning. Even while we're living in the tension of the temptations of sin and the struggle and striving to be pleasing to God, to live holy lives. And that is this. The blood of Christ keeps cleansing if we'll just keep walking in the light. Are you listening? Here's what John wrote. But if we walk in the light, now earlier he said that God is the light. And so we're walking near to God. We're in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, that's Jesus. So if we're walking in God's light with Jesus, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, and that word confess there is the idea in the original language of completely acknowledging that God is exactly right. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful. You ever thought about God being faithful? He's never broken a promise. He's never told a lie. He's never let anyone down. He's true to His word. If we confess our sins, He's faithful, pardon me, and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The verb cleanse in both of those verses is in the original language, it's continual action. And so as you're walking in the light, are you going to miss the mark? Are you going to sin? Yes. You're not going to be perfect, but it's where you are. Where are you in your life right now? Where are you? Are you walking in the light? Are you near to God? If you are, the blood of Christ just keeps cleansing you as you continually strive to draw near to God. When you miss the mark of holiness, the perfection of hitting the bullseye, the blood of Christ just keeps cleansing. Now listen to me. If you remove that promise, the good news now becomes tragic news. But it's not tragic. It's glorious. But God expects you to be all in. He expects you to be committed down to your core. He doesn't want you to give up. He wants you to keep walking in the Spirit. He wants you to keep fighting the good fight. He wants you to keep walking in the light, because then you will be with Him in eternity. That's all He really wants, is for you to be His child and to be with Him eternally in heaven. But the goody-goody gospel won't make it happen. The good news will. And friends, the message we've heard this morning from God's Word, that's good news. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. And if you've been out of duty, if you've been away from God, you've been walking in the dark, you need to get back in the light. If you brought reproach on the church and you want us to pray with you, we'll do that. Whatever your need is, please come now while we stand and sing.